You know, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says, "There is no beauty that we should desire Him." Speaking of Christ in the way that He looked when He was here on the earth. Speaking about when He would come, that He was not going to be an outstanding looking person, something to draw attention. Christ did not, and He could have been, God could have chose for Christ to be such a beautiful person to look upon that everybody that seen Him, just that was all that they seen, was such beauty. But it wasn't the outward beauty that God wanted them to see. And Christ did not come dressed in clothes that stood out, that would be fancy, something that would attract attention. He came as a poor person. And today, I'm afraid a lot of times, people, we have pictures in our mind, as we said earlier, at Memorial Day, we remember back people that has meant something to us in the past, family, friends, loved ones, or whoever that's passed on. We've got a picture in our mind of what they look like, and it's something when we think about them, that's what comes to our mind. My dad, the picture that comes to my mind when I think of Dad mostly, is either him sitting in his chair reading his Bible or in the pulpit preaching. But when I think of Christ, I don't think of Christ as a lot of people might picture Him. And I hope that today I can maybe, if you are picturing Christ as what He was when He walked here upon the earth, or what He was when He hung there on Calvary, or what He was when they laid Him in the grave, if that's the picture you've got in your mind when you think of Christ, I want you to get a much better one before this service is over. Because you and I, what Christ looked like when He was walking here is nothing like what Christ looks like today. Christ, what He was when He walked here upon the earth, is nothing like what He is today. Because that body that He was in when He walked here upon the earth, it had its limitations. There was a limit that that body could go to because it was human. But that body that Christ is in now is a glorified body. Nothing like you and I ever laid our eyes upon. And I want each and every one of us, as we think about it today, not think of Christ as that man that walked there in sandals, because He much more than that. Not think of Him as that one that hung upon Calvary and bled and died, because He much more than that. Don't think of Him as that one that they laid in the tomb, cause He's much more than that. You and I even what they talked about as Christ, as He rose from the dead, as He was there among the disciples. Christ was not in the full power and glory. Why? Because the living man couldn't have lived and walked there with Him. They couldn't have stood in the presence if Christ had been in His full power and glory and lived. And you and I want us to get a picture of what we're going to see of Christ when He comes again. Of what we're going to see when our eyes behold Him the next time. He's not going to be anything like what man saw or even witnessed when Christ was here upon the earth. But He's much more than that. And if you'd like to read with us in the 26th chapter of Acts, and I'm going to start reading at the 13th verse. And this is Paul speaking here about what he's seen. At midnight, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me. and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Then if you'll turn over with us in the Revelations, the very first chapter, and hear what John saw. Now there in what we read to you, Paul was speaking about that great light that he seen. And from that, it spoke unto him. And it was Christ. Well, here in Revelation, you'll find this is Christ that's speaking unto John. And we want to start here with the 13th verse. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girded about the path with a golden girdle, his head and his hair were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now here, John, what he was looking at, it was Christ in a glorified body. He wasn't looking at that man that had walked there around Jerusalem, but he was looking at the one that was standing on the right hand of the Father. He was looking at the one that had done pay the price, that had done come and redeemed man, and was in his full power and glory, and coming there to witness unto God of what it was to come. John was not able to look upon it. And he was touched and treated. John was able to stand and talk unto him. And he was touched and treated. But you and I, there's coming a time when Christ said we can stand down with me. Look upon him in that glorified body. Where the world he said, we'll have one like us to him. We'll have a body that can be in the presence of God. That John was seeing here. You know, eyes as a flame of fire. You know, you and I today, there's all kinds of people that think they've got things hid from God. They've got things hid from man, but we've got nothing here. Why? Those eyes penetrate and see anything there is to see. Man can't find a place where we can get out of sight of God. Do you realize that our government has said that they can fly over your house and you can be in the basement wherever you want to be, and yet they can pick up the heat from your body. Why? Because they want to know what's there on the inside. Well, if man is God there, what do you think you got here? Well, God, he looks in the yard. He sees what's there. The thoughts of your mind. The very intent of your heart. You and I today. It's impossible for us to hide from that one that sees and knows all. And I realize today that people, they think just because somebody don't know that I've got away with something. And you know, there's a lot of things that's happened in life that I knew beyond a shadow of any doubt what happened and who did it. But I did not have the evidence that I could prove it in court, but yet I knew. In my heart, I knew. There was no doubt whatsoever. So what do? You just keep quiet. You just accept it and go on. Because you know there's coming a day when God's going to sort it all out. But you know, when we stand before God, I can
know something is clear as can be, but if I don't have evidence to prove it, I am not allowed to go into court and say it because I've got to have evidence to back up what I'm saying. You realize when we stand before God and He starts telling you of your life, if you say, no, that isn't the way it was, God will pull up the evidence that you cannot deny. And each and every one of us, oh, how wonderful it is to know that Christ loved us enough to die for us, that He loved us enough to raise and to be victorious and to set as our mediator between us and God on the right hand of the Father. But when the enemies come around about me, it don't do me any good to think I can call upon one that walked upon this earth and said, oh, why before that body had a liver? But I thank God I can call upon one who has a glorified body. Only one God would come on and you'll call the whole army. Here is over. You know, today, if there's ever been a time the human family needs to realize we have a protection and a hiding place better than anything that man can build. You know, you'll hear today rumors and things about being afraid of a nuclear explosion, suitcase bombs, all of this. You know, used to, I'm almost 62 years old, and I can remember back as a kid, which was useless to have done, but that's what they taught us. Back when I was a kid in school, we had air raid warnings, or whatever you want to call it. And us kids was all told to get under the desk and cover our head because they knew they had nuclear weapons. Well, what good did that have done? If a building didn't fall on us, we didn't have no place to go afterwards, we'd still die from the radiation. You know, you can't hide from things like that. You dig a hole deep in the ground, it might not get you then, but it'll get you later. But I thank God we can stand on the top side of the earth and watch it explode, knowing that we're going to die, and yet knowing that victory is ours, that we're protected in the hands of God. How? Because the minute we leave this life, we're in the hand of the all-powerful God. If our soul is right with Him, never to leave His presence again for all of eternity. You and I today, we need to and realize from the very depths of our heart, God is the only thing that we need to make sure of, that we have in our life. Everything else is temporary. God's the only thing in the land you can pour a cinder block, a building of concrete, building is big and impossible to be made. So we stand the strongest plan, but it won't. And burn up. You might say, well, concrete won't burn. But I can tell you, it sure can't take the heat. It will explode and just blow all to pieces. And I learned that a long time ago when I worked at Fort Steel and Water Corporation in Wilmington, Delaware. They had some radiant heaters in a building that if you was more than about 15 feet from them, you couldn't feel nothing. And where they was at, they was down the side walls, and we all worked out in the middle. And this thing was so open, oh, you'd freeze to death out there. Well, we improvised.
they had a whole bunch of kerosene there that was sprayed on wire to help it when it was welding. So I got the bright idea of putting it down the bottom of a 55-gallon barrel, poured about a third of it in there, and we put some paper down in there and got it lit. And he had a hole about halfway up on that barrel, and I aimed an air hose in there. And he's going to make a whirling flame. And boy, I mean, it would throw out some heat. Everybody would come and get warm by that barrel. And I didn't think a thing about it. It burnt there for hours like that. To it burnt the kerosene down in the bottom, to it got down to the bottom of the barrel. And the barrel got hot. And that heated the concrete underneath of it. And I had my back turned to it and was marking a roll of water. And heard an explosion that sounded just like a shotgun. And I turned and that barrel was about that high in the air and it come back down. And it wasn't setting right. And I picked it up and it had heaved just a chunk out of that floor where it expanded that concrete and just blew it apart. So we never did that anymore. You and I, we can build whatever we want to try and protect us. But we can't hide from God. That face that John saw there's a time you're going to look into that face, either as Savior or as Judge. Oh, I'm so thankful that He's a loving God. With hands reaching out still to save. Those that John was looking at there, that robe right down to the foot, those eyes that he was looking at, that face, all about it, that he was there. What did he say? That same one we will look upon. Why, he hasn't changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you and I, and we'll live for it. He said, I'll come to receive you the day. That where I am there, you may be also. That's what I deserve. And that's what each and every one of us can have. You know, read what the Bible says about the risen Christ. What John was seeing here. How powerful he was. You know, Christ truly, when he walked here upon the face of the earth, because of faith and because he was the Son of God, he worked miracles. He could do all kinds of things like that. But that physical body that he was in was still just a man. You and I, when we look upon the glorified body of Christ, it's going to be so much different. I'm so thankful. As we read to you there in Isaiah, it said that, you know, in other words, his beauty was nothing outstanding. If you'd have seen him in a crowd, he was just a blended in. There was nothing outstanding about him as far as his look. What made Christ different was the man on the inside, who that he was, not what that he was as far as the body, but who he was, the Son of God. And because of the power that he had within him, not physical power, but spiritual power. But you and I, the God of the whole universe, can take his hand and all that we see, all that we've ever heard of or known about, can take his hand and destroy it in a second's time. Your life and my life is in His hand. I'm so thankful. God has proven His love, His mercy, His compassion, His forgiveness. And each and every person that ever lived, if we don't come before God and repent of our sin, we'll stand before Him and give an account of them. And according to the Bible, without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our heart and life, what awaits us is the lake of fire. And, you know, when God says the earth in the fullness thereof will be burnt up, that's exactly what God meant. You know, I was listening to a report. There was a, I think it was a gas truck or something caught on fire out on the interstate out west, and it caused a great big section of this highway just to fall because it got so hot, the steel and the stuff that was supporting it, the warp, and it fell. You and I, that was a cool fire compared to what God has in store for this world. You know, we look, and if I remember correctly, I think it's 93 million miles out to the sun. And you get out here on a sunny day when the sky is real clear, and you stand there and in that sunshine, you can feel the heat so strong from that 93 million miles away. What are you going to do when God just puts that heat that compares with that right in the earth? There's no way it will melt with a firmer heat. That's what he said. You and I today, there's no place to hide except in Christ Jesus. And I want each and every one of you to get a picture in your mind of Christ in His power and in His glory, the way He's coming back after those that's been redeemed. You know, you read in the Bible of what it talks about heaven and the throne of God. And when it said that He was the light of it, no wonder Paul said there's a light above the brightness of the sun. It lit up everything. Why? Because Christ appeared on the scene. You and I, there's coming a time we can live in the presence. Have you ever, this is another thing, back when I was a kid in school, I remember the first time there was an eclipse of the sun, the moon moving across the path of the sun. And the teacher was cautioning us, all of us, don't look at that, don't look at that. You've got to have a real heavy smoke glass. If you look at it, you can burn the retinas of your eye. Don't look at it. But you and I, there coming a time when we have our glorified body. We can look upon the Son of God shining above the brightness of the sun and no damage at all. I'm so thankful there's coming a time. Moses there after he was on the mountain when God picked up the little wall. He got down. He was still in a body like yours and mine. But just from being that close to God, he's gone with the power of God. He had to hang a veil over his head. The people couldn't look upon it. Why would it be the look upon the face of God in His full power and glory? You and I today, that's nothing to look for. So I'm so thankful Christ come and die for me. I'm so thankful we hold down Calvary. I don't want to see that. I want to see what He is now, because that's what I'm going to look upon when this life is over. You and I, we need to remember what the plan of salvation calls God. You know, I'm afraid in America, here we are at Memorial Day, and in America, all you got to do is listen to the way a lot of people talk about our rights and our freedoms, and you realize they do not even comprehend what it has cost that we've got. They don't realize the ones that died, whose blood was shed on a foreign soil that we might have this freedom. You know, I can remember talking to people that was in the Second World War, that was over there on D-Day. They're talking about so many was killed
even before they got onto the beach, that the tide, as it was coming up onto the beach and the bodies there, the tide was red with the blood. And yet they had to keep running on before this. All of that was done that you and I could have our freedom today. Truly, as we were talking earlier, in America, and had the videos that we've got today, a way of putting the war right into each and every house. No doubt the minds of the dead, when they seen all of that, they'd have been marching in the streets saying, "Bring our boys home! It's not worth it!" And we resolutely said, or surrendered our freedom. If we'd have seen when the war first started, there in Hawaii, when they killed the ball, and so much of the fleet went down, if we'd have seen that in the streets of our enemy, no doubt a lot of people would have been ready to surrender. That's why today, there's no backbone in America to stand up. They bring all of it on, and we're ready to surrender before the body would start. But God has fought the battle for you and I, that we might have the victory in Christ Jesus. And because we was not there to visually see what was done to pay such a price, oh, how it would shock people if they could truly see from the time in the garden when they come out there and took Jesus until he sat on the cross, it is finished, and bowed his head. If we was able to show people truly exactly what happened, a preacher would not have to stand and preach. People would see that and know the reason it was because he loved them. They would run to an altar. But people don't remember that. Because God said it's free, I give it unto you. We forget what a price was paid. Far greater than all of the soldiers that ever died for the freedom we have here in America. This was the Son of God paying such a price for me and you. But I'm so thankful today he still lives and reigns and is glorified and setting to make intercession for me and you, waiting for us to come. And you and I today, we can read all that God's Word says, but until we get in our mind and our heart that we want to be a Christian, those words just seem as hollow words. But once we realize that was for me. You know, I've read this and I thought, boy, how blessed John was to see that. Oh, how blessed he was to see that. God said each and every one of us can see it. What did Paul say to Timothy when he was dying? All of this is laid up in store for me, but not only for me, for all those that's looking for the appearance and love of the appearance of God. Those that's ready and looking for him, that's, they're going to get seen. That's what he's telling you and I today. Is that what's in our heart? Do we truly want to see what God has in store? You know, the beautiful city, the wonderful foundations that it speaks about, the beautiful gates, all of that, that's something glorious. That to think of a human being being able to see that, that's really special. But what awaits even greater than that is what's on the inside. And that's Christ and the Father upon the throne. That's something that when your eyes behold it, they will be nothing that you have ever seen or ever will see to compare with that.
That's what I want to see. Each and every one of us, please, I beg you. Don't let the devil put a picture in your mind of a weak Savior or a weak Lord, because there is none greater. There is no power greater. You will not find, you know, Bible speaks about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they're as one. And, you know, the best way I know to describe that, me and my son, we might agree on something, but if you have me on this side of the building, somebody else has him on that side of the building, you can ask him a question, the same question on this topic, and though our answers might not really conflict, they won't be precise. They won't be the same. That's what differs in God. It is exactly the same because they have one mind. You know, the Bible speaks about when you come together in one mind and one accord. The Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always in one mind and one accord. They think as one. They speak as one. Christ, when He come to do the will of the Father. And He did it perfectly. Why? Because they're as one. You and I today, I don't care what the devil tries to tell you about God to try and defame Him, weaken Him, or whatever it might be. Just, I hope and pray that you see an all-powerful and wise God that you will do business with one of two ways, as Lord and Savior or as Judge. While we get a verse of a song to sing, please don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that you're good enough that you can get by. You know, I was raised in church. I was a preacher's son. I loved my dad. I respected him. But I wasn't living right. I was in sin and I needed a Savior. And though I knew my dad had power with God, I knew Dad could pray. I couldn't ask Dad to forgive me of what that I'd done because it wasn't in his power to do it. There was only one that I could find that I could ask for that. And that was Jesus Christ, because He was the one that died to make that possible. And before Him I fell, and I come up a new man, you and I today. When we go before that risen Savior, that what John was saying in Revelation, when we bow before it, confess our sins, our faults, our failures, we can raise a new creature in Christ Jesus. We can find out what it is to have that Spirit flowing from the Son of God right into our heart and our life if we want to know it. While we sing, will you come? Christ is still the only way. No matter what religion, what people might say, no matter who that they might say will be arched about to, Christ said, I'm the one. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the door. And He is. And He's the only one. He's not, no place can you find in the Bible where He said, I'm one of the doors. He said, I'm the door. That's it. The door. One door in if you want to go into the family of God. And that's through and by Christ.